Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. One of the greatest blessings God has bestowed on the human family is our ability to communicate symbolically, that is, by words. What a great honor to have the ability to tell our spouses, our children, and others how much we love them. It is also very special for us to be able to tell the lost of Christ's love for all men and how they can be saved from their sins. But we must exercise great discretion in speaking to and about others. Paul commanded the Colossians, "Walk in wisdom toward them who are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Colossians 4, 5, and 6. The word speech refers to the words we speak. In fact, the word speech comes from the Greek logos, which is almost always translated word. Our words are of utmost significance. They can build up men and women in the most holy faith. They can also tear down our family members, fellow Christians, and others. These are the reasons Paul urged the Colossians to let their speech be always with grace. Dr. Hugo McCord renders the Greek, "Let your speech always be gracious." How can we expect to convert the lost, strengthen the saved, and build family relationships if we are always caustic or vulgar in our speech? The expression "seasoned with salt" seems to be out of place in describing human speech. But just as salt seasons our food and makes it more palatable, so we must sprinkle our speech with kindness and love to appeal to others. James shows how destructive mean-spirited speech can be. He calls the tongue a little member, but one that boasts great things. "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." James 3, 5, and 6. The misuse of the tongue reveals that we are living by Satan's rules, not by the Lord's. One of the reasons we must guard our speech, but not the only reason, is that we may know how we ought to answer every man. Responding to people's criticisms of God, of Christ, of the Bible, and of the church requires wisdom, patience, and kindness. There are critics who argue that the God of the Bible cannot be loving and banish the ungodly to eternal fire. But has not God made His will available to all who want to know it and live by it? How could God be more gracious than to send His Son into the world to die for our sins? He has given man the plan for saving us from our sins and providing eternal rest for the soul. Romans 1, 16 and 17. There are enemies of the cross who deny the sonship of Jesus Christ. How could He be God manifest in the flesh? 1 Timothy 3, 16. "Frankly, there is much about the incarnation I do not understand and cannot explain. But I know Jesus was and is God, and that He became a man and lived among men." How wonderful it ought to be to every human being that God the Son became one of us to show us God the Father and to demonstrate how to live so as to inherit eternal life. Some of the critics attack the Church of the Living God. They do not accept the fact that all spiritual blessings are in the Church. Ephesians 1, 3. Or they believe the church is a kind of afterthought to get us ready for the coming kingdom. They sometimes criticize the church because the membership contains people who are somewhat less than perfect. What Christians must do in every case is to learn how to respond in a gentle and loving way to all people who attack God, His Son, His church, and His word. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.